Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95. 95.
Hello again to all of these stargazers and space lovers. This is your favorite cosmic show, Kalam Astro, on Pulse 95. Yes, you're tuned in to the right place if you want to talk about space, mysteries, and aliens. I must say that I've missed all of you since our last celestial journey together, but fear not, my friends, because we are back and are ready to embark on another thrilling adventure through the universe of thoughts and ideas to space, all the way to space. So I've got an incredible lineup of topics and discussions prepared for you tonight. And trust me when I say that you won't want to miss a single moment of Kalam Astro. Well, I do really mean it, because we will be diving into the mysteries of the cosmos, we'll be exploring the depths of the human psyche, and unraveling the secrets of the universe together, as we always do. So I would encourage that you buckle up, my fellow astro explorers, because we're about to blast off into the realm of endless possibilities and mind-bending revelations. So stay tuned and let's begin this amazing journey together once again on Kalam Astro and on your favorite radio station, Pulse 95.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Keeping it local, all day, every day.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Well, hello, stargazers and space lovers. We are back on Kalam Astro, and I must say, highly elated to start our amazing space journey together. Now, as always, I've got some super exciting news. And this super exciting news to share with you tonight is all about Sharjah Academy of Astronomy, Space Sciences and Technology. Because our amazing friends at the Academy have been on a fantastic adventure at the 2024 European Geosciences Union Conference. Now, for those who don't know, the General Assembly 2024 of the European Geosciences Union have taken place on April 14th and has run to April 19th in 2024 in Vienna, Austria. And the purpose of this amazing EGU, or the General, or the European Geosciences Union General Assembly this year, is to bring together all of the geoscientists from all over the world to one meeting in order to cover all disciplines of the Earth, planetary and space sciences. What's incredible for our lovely city, the city of Sharjah, is that the Sharjah Academy of Astronomy, Space Sciences and Technology have taken part in this amazing European Geosciences Union Conference this year. So first up, we had an amazing, brilliant girl, Miss Aisha Lois, and she has done wonderful because she presented a really cool research paper. She and her team from the Academy have been using something called YOLO object detection algorithms, and this helps us find and identify the meteorites more easily. So it's like having a super smart robot helper that can spot space rocks for us. So this is definitely an amazing research paper that she has taken part or participated in. Next, we also had the fantastic Miss Selma Sophie, who has been studying a special kind of meteorite called iron meteorites. Now, these space rocks are made of a lot of iron, and they have a unique structure that makes them look really, really cool and pretty much fantastic, I would say. So Selma Sophie had done her part in the conference using or talking about this special kind of meteorite, which are called iron meteorites. But then, what's even more exciting is that by studying these iron meteorites, Miss Selma and her team are helping us understand how asteroids and our solar system were formed a very, very long time ago. So we can say it's like looking back in time to see how our cosmic neighborhood came to be or came into existence. So I would say this is definitely amazing, and I'm sure you guys would agree, because our friends at the Academy are definitely doing incredible work to help the city of Sharjah thrive when it comes to the space industry or the space sector. And this is helping us learn more about the wonders of space and the rocks that come from it. And it wouldn't be more amazing than to know that all of these amazing people, all of these amazing papers or research that has been done extensively is coming from our lovely city, the city of Sharjah. Well, I would say, stay curious. We still have more to look up to. Not just looking up at the stars, we still have more to discuss. So stay tuned, don't go anywhere. We're signing off for a little bit of a time, going on a quick break. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
Keeping it local, all day, every day.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Hello there, little space explorers, or lovely space explorers, I would say. Not little, yeah, lovely. It's your cosmic companion, Ali Al-Nuemi, talking to you from Pulse 95 to present Kalam Astro. And I've got some amazing news again about one of our favorite space travelers, Voyager 1. Now, who knows where is Voyager 1? If you can send us a text, where has NASA sent Voyager 1 to? Which planet? Voyager 1, yes, text us on 4215. Let me know if you guys know. But then if you still have more time to text me before I actually announce it, because we are talking about Voyager 1 in this segment. So let me see if I will be getting amazing texts about Voyager 1 and where has it been sent off to. Right, but then again, fine, I'll just expose it because I'm talking about it anyway. Right, Voyager 1. Let's get deeper into this. Right, so imagine having a friend who's been on a really, really long trip and you haven't heard from them in a very, very long time or a while. Well, that's kind of what happened to Voyager 1, or with Voyager 1, because it's been exploring the vast reaches of space for over 40 years. And recently, it had a little trouble sending messages back home. Yes, Voyager 1 has gone way too far in space, and that's the answer. If you caught up to sending me an amazing text on 4215, well done to you. If you haven't, well, there you go. So Voyager 1 is really, really far away from us, and it's been reaching all the way to space for over 40 years. And recently, as I mentioned, scientists or NASA have found that that Voyager 1 is having trouble sending messages back home. But guess what? On Saturday, April 5th, this month, Voyager 1 finally phoned home and gave an update to NASA operating team about its health or condition. Isn't technology just simply amazing? I swear, this is so weird, just giving me goosebumps. Right, so it's like getting a postcard from your friend letting you know that they're doing very, very well all the way in space. Now, here's the really cool part about what happened to Voyager 1. Now, Voyager 1, as we know it, is the first human-made object to leave our solar system and enter interstellar space, which means it's exploring a part of the universe that no other spacecraft has ever been to before. I swear this is simply amazing. So Voyager 1 is out of our solar system. However, being so far away from planet Earth or from us can sometimes, of course, cause communication problems, and this is what happened. Now, Voyager's one computer language, which is made up of zeros and ones and numbers, all of this got mixed up, so started getting a bit mixed up. I can say it's like when you're playing a game and suddenly the rules just don't make sense anymore. You get a miscommunication or different language, numbers that you're not expecting, basically. Then again, we still don't have to worry because the amazing, brilliant scientists and engineers at NASA have been working very, very hard to fix the problem and understand decoding all the numbers sent by Voyager 1. So now they're sending new instructions to Voyager 1 to help it to remember how to talk to us properly again to fix the language. Now, the best part of all of this is that on Saturday, April 20th, it actually worked, because Voyager 1 has sent back information about its condition, its health, and it has let us know that it's still going strong and is still ready to continue its incredible journey through the stars that has been taking about 40 years. So yeah, that was it. That's just an amazing, amazing piece of information or an update about Voyager 1, and just to simply think about how this amazing spacecraft have traveled all the way outside of our own solar system, going to space or outside the solar system, going all the way where we human beings cannot reach, but then we'll still get in the information from the spacecraft. It's just giving me goosebumps every time I think about it, to be honest. Amazing exploration and amazing news and updates about Voyager 1. So whenever you look up at the sky, remember that Voyager 1 is out there exploring the wonders of the universe for all of us. Who knows what amazing discoveries it will make next? We could probably be finding aliens. I hope so, because I really do believe in the existence of extraterrestrial life. Well, quick break and we are coming back. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
Pulse 95. The heart of Sharjah.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Coming back to Kalam Astro, again, I've got some incredible updates or news about space, and this time we will be talking about one of Jupiter's moons. Now, as we know of, Jupiter's got a lot of moons, to be honest. It's got like around 75 or 79 moons, some of them that NASA has discovered, some of them that, who knows, we still might discover even more than 70 or 75 moons, where NASA is working very hard to push more exploration or more research when it comes to Jupiter's moons. Now, today, our highlight is one of the amazing Jupiter's moons, which is called Io. Now, let's take you to the world of imagination to talk a little bit about this amazing moon. Imagine a world covered in volcanoes with lava, lava lakes, and smoky eruptions happening all the time. No break, it's happening all the time, every second, every minute. Well, that's exactly what Io is like. Io, one of Jupiter's moons. And thanks to NASA's Juno probe, we now have some amazing new pictures of this fiery moon that's filled of lava and volcanoes. Now, Juno, which is a NASA space probe orbiting the planet Jupiter, it was built and operated by NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and the spacecraft was launched in August 2011. Right, so back again. Juno recently flew super close to the moon, Jupiter's moon Io, and not just once, but it actually orbited really close and flew super near to Io twice, not only one time, and it got as close as 930 miles. That's equivalent to 1,500 kilometers to the moon's surface, which is like flying from, we can say, New York to Miami, I would say, yes. So the scientists working on the Juno mission were absolutely elated and excited by what they saw, because they spotted lots of active volcanoes and even a huge lava lake that they called Loki Patera. So it's so big that you definitely could fit a whole city inside of it. And this is just the moon. I mean, Jupiter is a huge, giant planet, as we know of. So the moons are also big. Right, so, but that's not all, because the Juno probe also found out that some parts of Io's surface are as smooth as glass. So it's like walking on a giant shiny mirror. And while Juno was busy exploring Io, it also took a closer look at Jupiter itself, and the probe used a special tool called the microwave radiometer to study the giant planet's north pole, and it found out that the storms swirling around up there are quite different from each other, even though they might look similar in the pictures. Now, Juno, the probe, is helping us learn so much more about Jupiter and its moon, and there's still more to come. The probe is going to keep flying around this amazing giant planet, getting closer and closer to its surface and the moons that orbit it, and who knows what other amazing discoveries it will make. Right, so next time again, if you look at the night sky and see Jupiter shining bright, remember that Juno is out there moving around the amazing giant, trying to explore more moons and give us more information. It's like having our own robotic explorer in space. Quick break and we're coming back. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
It's a Shasha story.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al Nwemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Well, great to be back to Kalam Astro on Pulse 95 to our fourth segment for tonight. Right, so we've been talking about very, very exciting topics. We've talked about Io, Jupiter's moon and its volcanoes and eruptions and the new pictures Juno probe has taken. And yeah, that was a simply amazing, amazing discovery. And the amazing Voyager 1 as well. We've talked about Voyager 1 and its new communication or message, postcard, let's say, to NASA, which is simply amazing because it has gone way too far outside the solar system. And it's been amazing to hear great news that it's communicating back to us to give us more information about what's out there out and beyond our solar system. Right, so tonight I also have got some really exciting updates sending humans back to the moon. Yes, now you might be thinking, wait a minute, didn't we already send people to the moon a long time ago? And yes, you were right. Back in 1969, the Apollo missions sent a total of 12 astronauts to walk on the moon's surface. And that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Why is it so difficult for it to happen again? So why haven't we done this since 1969? Why hasn't anyone sent humans back to the moon? Now here's the thing, it's been a very, very long time since we really did send anyone back to the moon. In fact, that the last time humans set foot on the lunar surface was way back in 1972. Right, so I ask you again, why is it taking us long to go back? Well, there are a few reasons. And that is because, first, sending people to the moon is quite expensive. And during the Apollo missions, NASA was spending a huge amount of money, more than half of its entire budget. So I think all of us understand, right? Second reason is, back in 1960s, the United States was in a big space race with another country called the Soviet Union, which is Russia. So both countries wanted to be the first to do things in space, like landing on the moon. But once the United States have won the race, people kind of lost interest and NASA's budget got a lot smaller. Now that's a shoestring budget. Well, for now, the great news is NASA is working on a new program called Artemis, which is all about sending human beings back to the moon. But this time, they want to do things a little bit differently, because these Artemis missions will be safer than the Apollo missions, because we've got technology now, right? We've got more advancement. So back then, going to the moon was really dangerous, and some of the missions had close calls or even accidents, we can say. But NASA doesn't want to take those kinds of risks anymore, so they're studying it very, very carefully. So the Artemis missions will focus a lot more on science. The astronauts will stay on the moon for up to a week, studying the lunar surface and setting up experiments. But here's the really cool part about this The Artemis program isn't just about visiting the moon, that's not just the case. It's all about starting to build a permanent human presence there. Yes, you heard that correctly. That means things like refueling stations in space and even picking out spots for future moon colonies. You never know. You never know what will happen if human beings or people, astronauts, go all the way to the moon again with this advanced technology, with what we've got, with information and science that we have, not just like in the 1970s. It's going to be completely different, completely safe. Wouldn't say completely because we don't know yet, but more safe definitely than the 1970s or 60s for astronauts to go all the way there. Right, so while it might seem like it's still taking a long time to get humans back to the moon, it's because we're doing it in a smarter, safer, and more exciting way than ever before. And who knows, maybe one of you listeners can be space explorers and astronauts who will be part of the Artemis missions someday. Everything is possible. Quick break and we are coming back. Don't go anywhere. Do not change these amazing radio waves. Keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Well, space lovers and explorers, I would say it's been an incredible journey together tonight on Kalam Astro. Yes, we're approaching the end. This is the final Kalam Astro segment. I bet you guys can know from the soundtrack, this amazing soundtrack. I love this amazing soundtrack. Anyhow, so whenever you listen to this amazing soundtrack, you guys know this music tells you this is the end of Kalam Astro for the night. Now, we've covered some amazing topics and learned so much about the wonders of space. Let's give a recap, let's say, a wrap-up with what we've discussed and talked about. First, we've talked about the exciting participation of the Sharjah Academy of Astronomy, Space Sciences and Technology at the 2024 European Geosciences Union Conference. And I would say, then again, it was so inspiring to see the scientists from all over the world, especially from Sharjah, coming together to share their knowledge and discoveries in this amazing and very, very highly important conference. Next, we also had some fantastic updates from NASA. After 5 long months of silence, the Voyager 1 spacecraft finally found home. It sent out communications and it let scientists and NASA know it's still out there exploring the far reaches of our amazing solar system. And the Juno probe sent back some jaw-dropping images of Jupiter's moon Io, which is home to some of the most active volcanoes in the solar system. And last but not least, we also dove into the challenges of sending humans back to the moon. We learned about the high costs, the changing priorities, and the new goals of the Artemis program, which aims to not just visit the moon, but to establish a permanent human presence on the moon, which is simply amazing. I would say it's been an amazing night, definitely. Do text us on 4215. Let us know, what do you guys think about Kalam Astro? Do you have any other topics you would like that we discuss or share in the show? Definitely would love to hear your thoughts and ideas on 4215. Do text us, DM us on our Instagram account as well. We have a lovely social media team, as I've mentioned, and I keep saying that because if I don't, they wouldn't like it, right? They would be very happy. They will be very quite crossed. Right? No, I actually say because we really do have an amazing social media team on Pulse 95. So DM us on Instagram, on our social media accounts, or text us on 4215. Let us know what you guys think about Kalam Astro and the other amazing other shows on Pulse 95. We've got a lineup of amazing shows with Big Haz, with Anna, with Aisha Al-Mazmi, Mikhail. Yes, we have a packed or amazing package of amazing radio shows on Pulse 95. I have to admit it, honestly. Right, so we will be back tomorrow at the same time, 7 p.m. for even more space adventures, of course. So do not forget to tune in and join us as we continue to explore the wonders of the universe together tomorrow. Until then, keep your eyes on the stars and your dreams in the cosmos. This is Kalam Astro signing off. Good night and see you tomorrow on Pulse 95.
The heart of Sharjah.
Pulse 95.
Keeping it local all day, every day.